mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, there's a new sheriff in town, literally. New Hancock County Sheriff Mike Cortez joins us to talk about the work ahead and making the job his own. Also this morning, for fans of high school athletics in Ohio, this is Officials Appreciation Week for winter sports. OHSAA Director of Officiating Bo Rugg explains why that's important. And the 4-H program year is underway with several new events planned that are aimed at getting the entire community involved. Lauren Berner-Kitzler will be here to tell us what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, January 13th, 2025. So if my voice seems a little rough this morning, or a little weak, it's probably the lingering effects from me yelling at the TV on Friday during the Buckeyes game, mostly during the second and third quarters of the game. Yeah, it was a little antsy there for a little while, thinking maybe the Buckeyes might blow this. But in the end, of course, all worked out for the best, and the Buckeyes advanced the national championship game. I tell you what, for as much as they kind of struggled in the middle part of that game, I think this actually has been the most impressive win. This past Friday was the most impressive win of their postseason run. I mean, yeah, they blew out Tennessee, they blew out Oregon, but this one was even maybe more impressive because they ended up winning it handily, and yet they did not necessarily play their best football, and they were certainly challenged more by Texas than by either of their previous opponents in the playoffs. So this, for my money, was actually a more impressive win at the end of the day. But it was not without its moments of nervousness. And so, yeah, I'm still a little rough from that. So if I seem my voice is like a little off, that's probably why. By the way, Southwest Airlines already preparing for Buckeyes fans wanting to go to the national championship game. The airline announced 5 additional nonstop flights from Columbus to Atlanta between January 18th and the 20th. 5 additional nonstop flights so they can get all of the fans there. And 6 additional return flights on the 21st. By the way, should mention this, not just if you are headed to Atlanta for the championship game, but if you are headed to John Glenn International Airport in Columbus anytime in the relatively near future. You want to be on the lookout for changes in traffic patterns. There will be lane restrictions. There's a change of location for the cell phone lot if you're going down to pick somebody up from the airport. The cell phone lot is now in a different spot, and also lower speed limits in the airport area. Construction getting ready to begin on that $2 billion expansion project with the new terminal there. So just mention that if you happen to be headed to Columbus sometime in the coming months. That's going to be a big mess for a while. It's going to be very nice when it's all done. What else is going on? The first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Global temperatures have shattered records for the second year in a row. Multiple government agencies announced on Friday that 2024 was the hottest year on Earth in recorded history, surpassing the previous record set all the way back in 2023. Scientists say last year was hotter than any year since at least 1880. Which I get why they put these, data points out and all of that. It's interesting and all of that. But, I mean, we talk about the hottest year ever for the Earth. But really, we're only talking about the last couple hundred years where we have data. And the Earth is obviously much older than that. But nonetheless, it's interesting data, and they say not only North America, Europe, Africa, and South America had their warmest year on record. Asia and the Arctic region had their second warmest year on record. The Consecutive records are part of a continued warming trajectory, scientists say. And this is what we've been warning you about it, so better start taking this seriously. It's 2 years in a row now. It's kind of interesting. This was an interesting story and really raises an ethical conundrum. A man in Toledo, it says here, is $5,000 richer after finding some cash buried beneath the basement of his home. Walter Castaneda, I think is how you pronounce it, he bought the home in May of last year, and while working in the basement last week, he found $10,000 in cash. It was buried, I guess, under the floor of the basement. $10,000 in cash. Now, the former owner of the home is now deceased. Apparently bought it at an estate sale or something. So he tracked down the son of the former owner of the home and split the money 50-50. So, I mean, it raises some interesting questions in the morality of this whole thing. Would you, if you found $10,000 hidden in the basement of a home you had just bought, I mean, you know it's not yours. You know it likely belongs to the previous owner. But that owner has passed away. Do you keep it? Do you do what this guy did, track down the family and split it 50-50? Do you give it all back knowing it wasn't yours? All kinds of options here. But it's, I don't know. I'm not sure what I would do. I guess it would depend on how much I needed the $10,000, you know? But anyway, what is the morally right thing to do? It's just kind of an interesting... I mean, legally, he could have kept it. There was nothing saying that he had to give it back. But is that the moral thing to do? I don't know. It's just kind of an interesting conundrum, isn't it? Something to think about. This is something I saw on the Newswire, and it is, I think, long overdue. I think this is a great idea. X, the social media platform formerly known as Twitter, will begin labeling parody and satire accounts. The new labels will be seen on both the profiles of the parody and satire accounts and on the posts of those accounts will also be labeled as parody or satire. According to a statement from the social media platform safety team, the move is an effort to increase transparency so that people know what they're looking at is supposed to be a joke. You know, because there is a concern that you see this fake stuff that was not written with the idea of fooling people, but rather just to make people laugh. But people actually believe it, and they share it, and this is how rumors get started and so on. And so now they'll label it. It's probably a good idea. And I follow a number of those accounts, you know, because I think they're rather humorous, of the Babylon Bee and the Onion and so on. Accounts, it says, now can place the label on themselves in the settings page. You can, you know, self-report, but they say they will, very soon they will release details about when the labeling will become mandatory for accounts that fit the description of satire and or parody. So I think it's a good move. I think it's a good idea. Probably long overdue. Kind of interesting. And lastly here, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day to get your Monday morning started. How much do you love donuts? If you love them so much you would like to smell like one all day, you are in luck. The folks at Dunkin' have partnered with Native, the fragrance company Native, for a new line of personal care products scented just like they came out of the pastry case. You can choose from body wash, deodorant, shampoo, conditioner, and more in several different varieties. Strawberry frosted, vanilla sprinkle, blueberry cobbler, and Boston cream. It is a limited edition collection available exclusively at Walmart, of course, and on the Native website. And the best part, They are calorie-free, and they won't wreck your New Year's resolution. That's what they... But it is only for a limited time. I don't know. Would you... Is that something... Does it smell like a donut? Smell like a donut shop all day? I'm not sure... I mean, you might go for it if you truly love donuts. I'm not sure how your coworkers would feel about that. You know what I mean? I'm not sure that I'd want to be in the cubicle next to somebody who smells like a donut shop all... What is that fragrance? Well, it's strawberry sprinkles. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Dimchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly to mostly cloudy today with a high in the lower 20s, partly cloudy tonight, low around 10. A 16-year-old Ohio boy died after falling through the ice on a pond.
This happened in Wayne County near Worcester. The sheriff says the family was clearing away snow on the pond so they could ice skate. But at some point, the family left and the teen fell through the ice. Experts say you should never go on ice alone. Always use the buddy system. You should also wear a life jacket anytime you're on the water, even if it's frozen. And remember, extreme cold does not mean safe ice.
ONN's Clay Gordon reporting. A second Chick-fil-A fast food restaurant is coming to Findlay. The Findlay City Planning Commission approved the site plan review for a Chick-fil-A at 1165 West Trenton Avenue. The restaurant will be located on the south side of West Trenton, west of the intersection with Independence Square. The restaurant will have 62 seats inside, 16 outside, and 79 parking spots. It'll have a two-lane drive-through like the Tiffin Avenue location has. Get more details in this story on our website. Blanchard Valley Health System says a little tail wag can make a world of difference. BVHS says therapy animals are transforming healthcare settings by reducing anxiety, encouraging communication, and promoting faster recovery for all ages. BVHS says interacting with animals causes the brain to release endorphins, which aid in relaxation. As a result, relaxation can contribute to lower blood pressure, decreased pain, and increased cardiovascular health. BVHS says children are particularly receptive to pet therapy and may receive the greatest benefit from it. Get more information about the benefits of pet therapy in this story on our website. The Ohio High School Athletic Association has designated this week as Winter Sports Officials Appreciation Week. Officials Appreciation Week is part of the OHSAA's Respect the Game program, which encourages sportsmanship among student athletes, coaches, officials, and spectators. The spring season Officials Appreciation Week will be held in April. Get more details in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Our cover story this morning, there's a new sheriff in town. Quite literally, in this case. Hancock County Sheriff Mike Cortez is with us this morning. You actually, last week, got the chance to issue your first road alert, weather alert.
I did.
Pretty exciting stuff right there.
What a way to break a sheriff, a new sheriff in, right?
There you go. I know it is, it is always a challenge, regardless of what job we're talking about, to take over for someone who has held the job as long as Michael Heldman held it.
Right.
What has it been like kind of settling in with this change in command?
You know, Sheriff Heldman did a great job for the sheriff's office, for the community. He built a great foundation for the next person to pick it up and carry it on. Mm-hmm. And so that's exactly what we're going to do. We're just going to pick up where he left off and take those foundational pillars that he instilled at the sheriff's office, and we're going to try to build upon those and make things just a little bit better. So at my departure, we could do the same thing for that next person. So we could continue to provide the best law enforcement services to Hancock County.
So it's a lot more than just redecorating the office.
Yeah, it's a lot more than that. Although my wife has some ideas.
Of course. It was interesting in the, you put out a piece last week where you were talking about, you know, making the job your own and some of the goals. And you set forth some very specific goals and priorities for the year ahead. Including building stronger partnerships with local organizations. Right. I'm assuming that you know, that work has kind of already begun and probably laying some of the groundwork over the past couple of months since the election.
Correct.
But talk a little bit about what that involves and what you hope to accomplish.
You know, it's all about collaboration. So when you collaborate with other people, with other organizations, you build resources. And so when you encounter an issue, whether it be a community-wide issue or maybe it's an internal issue, you know, I can turn to those people that may have some expertise in those areas and seek out advice and say, you know, how do you guys handle this stuff? Mm-hmm. Or if it's a larger issue, a community-based issue, I want to be sure that I have strong ties and strong relationships with our mental health, with our drug addiction services, with, you know, any organization that could potentially be affected. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at all the community stakeholders to build those relationships with. So if it comes time that we need to address those issues, we're going to have established relationships and we're going to be able to work cohesively together and push our community forward.
You talk about mental health and addiction, two of the hot button issues, not just for our community, but really everywhere in America these days. You also talked about transparency and how that is important. And again, this is another one of those hot button issues really around the country for law enforcement of, you know, all set from police departments, sheriff's offices, and so on, all the way up. The chain. Talk about that transparency issue and what that means to you.
So transparency goes right together with accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, as sheriff, I'm accountable to the people, and I want my people to be accountable not just to their supervisors and to me, mm-hmm. but to the community as well. You know, we're here to not necessarily suppress the people, but to uphold what the people represent. Mm-hmm. And that's our community, and making sure that we're doing things the right way for the right reasons. And if someone has a question, if they want to call into question, I absolutely endorse that. Call into question what we're doing. Let us take a look at it, and we'll be completely transparent about what we did. If we made a mistake and we fell, mm-hmm. you know, my motto has always been, we don't fail, we learn. We come back, we do it better tomorrow. And so that's how we continue to make ourselves better. You know, I don't think any successful person or organization will ever tell you that we never fail, we never made a mistake, mm-hmm. because that's how you become better.
Yeah.
And so that's what that looks like for me. And in part, you know, that's why I have been such a big proponent of the body-worn cameras for our deputies and our corrections officers, that, you know, there's not going to be a question. It's not going to be a he said, she said type, mm-hmm. you know, complaint or incident.
Yeah.
Let's watch the video. Let's see what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'll sit down with you and we'll explain the why behind the actions that was taken and what authorized us to do that.
Do all of the sheriff's deputies have the body
we do not
now?
We okay. do not. So we don't have any body worn cameras or any in-car cameras at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of my big projects,
big priority.
That I'm hoping by 2027 that we'll be able to do it. And, you know, we're going to be dealing with grants. And mm-hmm. so there's only certain times of the year that those grants come open,
right?
And certain times of the year that they get awarded. And mm-hmm. so it takes time.
Yeah.
So I just ask for a little patience as we work through this and try to get awarded those grants.
We mentioned the building those partnerships with local organizations and so on. You also talked about addressing the challenges within the community through those collaborations, through mm-hmm. those partnerships. And one of the main ones that came up during the campaign, and I know in our forum when we discussed the issues, is the growing immigrant population within Findlay and Hancock County. And ask you to talk a little bit about how those partnerships will help you deal with some of the challenges of that reality.
Yes. So, you know, still nothing has changed on that front where, you know, local law enforcement, we don't have the authority to do anything, take any enforcement actions for the illegal immigration into our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all with the federal government. Now, yeah. I'm not saying that, you know, nothing at all will be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when those issues arise, you know, I'm willing to sit down and collaborate with those federal agencies to figure out what exactly can we do.
Yeah.
You know, explain to us how we can be a partner with with you, mm-hmm. and how can we help our community? And, yeah. And again, it's all about those collaborations. It's about working with, you know, the city of Findlay. It's about working with, you know, the homeless. It's about working with all those people that are affected and trying to come up with the best means possible to address this issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people think that we should be able to just, you know, stop somebody and check their credentials, and that's just simply not the case. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not permitted to do that to anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to have a lawful, justified reason to have contact with the people. And, you know, by and through that contact, if that is part of that process, then okay. But we're not going to just randomly stop people and check mm-hmm. to see if they're permitted here or not.
It's been brought up that the vast majority of those who are have relocated to this community are here legally, either on temporary visas or mm-hmm. are American citizens. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't still present some challenges.
Correct. Yeah. And you know, some of those challenges are the language barrier. Mm-hmm. You know, our municipal court has to have a special day, and we just can't pull any interpreter in off the street. They have to actually be approved and vetted by and through the Ohio Supreme Court to be approved to come in and do that. So that's pulling resources there.
Yeah.
You know, and then we got to consider other community resources that are being strained. You know, I know that there have been, you know, some motor vehicle accidents by people that are not licensed and not insured and stuff like that. And so we can address those issues by and through our everyday job. And
with the collaboration.
And with the collaboration, yes.
Real quickly, we only have about 30 seconds or so. Staffing levels where you would like them to be or where you need them to be for the Hancock County Sheriff's Office right now?
Well, we have some people off that's injured, some mm-hmm. Maternity leave. But right now, we're okay. I would like to see at least one other person added to our investigative unit, and I would like to see them do or focus on sexual assaults and domestic violence specifically.
So one of the additional priorities moving forward. Yes. Again, new Hancock County Sheriff Mike Cortez with us this morning, talking about making the job his own and the work that lies ahead in the coming year and even beyond.
Yes.
Mike, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this is Winter Sports Officials Appreciation Week in Ohio, and joining us this morning is the Director of Officiating and Sport Management for the Ohio High School Athletic Association, Bo Rugg. And Bo, fans will remember that we did this back in the fall, now again for winter sports. Explain why this is so important. I know there are a number of reasons for this.
Yeah, the NFHS kind of initiated the whole program, and we do it each season. And it's a part of it's just awareness, you know, a big awareness thing that we need officials. We can't play games without them.
Right.
And we need officials. We want some awareness and appreciate them just as we appreciate the players and coaches and everybody involved in interscholastic athletics. So that's kind of how it was born, and it's really been a nice program.
The message, of course, is that to get people to kind of appreciate the fact that it is a difficult job. I mean, and of course, officials are human. Anytime you have to make split-second decisions, it is not easy. We don't have replay reviews at the high school level. Does the technology that we see, you know, at the college and professional level sometimes give unrealistic expectations of a standard that really is impossible to meet at the high school level?
That's a great question. I think it can, yes. You know, it's in this day and age where in sport, we want to get things right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the video review certainly helps from the officiating end at those levels. Again, like everything, it's not perfect. You know, it's two-dimensional. It's only the look you get. And if you don't get the right look,
right?
And it's a different look. So I think it does probably create some expectations, but it also shows you some reality that sometimes
fair point.
It's where you are, where you're looking, and the time you're looking that it counts most.
And I think that also leads to maybe a misperception that officials just kind of show up and call a game. There is a lot of work that goes into studying situations and learning where to be and how to move to get that good view of the action where things might be going on that will need an official's attention. There is ongoing education multiple times a year for officials. I mean, they work hard outside of game days just like players and coaches do.
That's correct. And I think that's technology has helped us there too. I mean, mm-hmm. it's much easier now to get video to look at yourself. And, you know, I know from Ohio State, when I run the shot clock at Ohio State, that those officials actually get the game downloaded to their iPad at the site. They get it first half and second half.
Mm-hmm.
And now officials, I know so many officials at the high school level
right.
that have been seeking video forever. It had been 5 years ago, 10 years ago, tougher to get. Now it's so much easier. They're connected on different platforms
yep.
that they can get it, and that really helps them.
Yeah,
because officials really like to watch and learn
yeah.
and then discuss.
Going back and studying game film, again, just like players and coaches will do this, officials will as well. And there's the old saying, and this is really why this is so pertinent, and full disclosure, I am a high school and youth sports official myself. In my spare time, most people who listen to this program on a regular basis know that. So I can say this from experience. There's that old saying that it's all fun and games until someone gets hurt. We're going to take some grief from fans and from coaches and from players. And that's part of, you know, that kind of goes with the territory. But there is a growing concern that there are, in fact, instances where officials are being harmed or threatened with harm over high school and even middle school games.
We're working very hard. Our executive director has taken it upon himself to work with us on this because he has such a direct connection, being a former superintendent, to superintendents and school districts. And we're working very hard to educate them on in showing them, modeling good techniques,
mm-hmm.
giving them a toolbox of techniques to help mitigate what you're talking about. I mean, it's you know, keeping people safe. It's a concern.
This is also contributing to the ongoing problem that we have known about for many years, that we just don't have enough officials. This is one of the reasons why the younger generation is not picking this up. And the ones that are out there not getting any younger. And that is a shame because for everything that we're talking about with respect to some of the concerns and so on, it really is a great way to give back to the community and give back to the youth.
It is. We've made some real inroads in our schools. We've probably got over 60 schools now that are teaching officiating as part of their curricula. That's a really a good thing for us. Getting students and athletes at that age mm-hmm. exposed. The fruit of that isn't born right away. And we get a little bit, but not a lot. But getting them exposed, and then hopefully when they say, I want to stay connected with the games that I love later on,
yeah.
This is a great way to do that. And then we need to really push, as you say, you know, all of those fans that are passionate about watching their children play in middle school and in high school, and when their children stop playing,
mm-hmm.
Stay connected and get involved in this. And
yeah.
so I want to really kind of hit those 28 to 40 year olds and say,
exactly.
you know, hey, why don't you stay connected?
Exactly. For the benefit of those who might be interested in either becoming an official or just learning more about what is involved, where can they go to kind of start that process?
Yeah, it's very, very easy to get on our website at www.ohsaa.org. Right on the right side is officiating, and you click on that, and it'll say become an official, and that's where you learn all about that. We do all of our initial instruction online, so you can do it from your comfort of your home, office, wherever you want to do it. And once you complete that, we're going to get you connected with a local association with some people that can help you in the training aspect. So it really isn't hard to at least dip your toe in.
Yeah.
And see what it's about.
Again, this is Winter Sports Officials Appreciation Week in Ohio. The OHSAA Director of Officiating and Sport Management, Bo Rugg, with us this morning. Bo, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it, Chris. Thank you for everything you do.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A woman in Australia is now claiming that she was tricked into marriage. Tricked into marriage. How does this happen, you might ask? Well, that's what I wondered. Apparently, the woman who remains anonymous in this news story that I saw, the woman believed that the wedding was a stunt for social media. Her partner had like 17,000 Instagram followers and apparently told her that he wanted to, you know, get married as a stunt for social media, for his Instagram followers. Months later, fast forward, months later, he tells her that he wants her to add him as one of her dependents. Months later, he wants her to add him as one of his dependents, or one of her dependents. That raised some eyebrows. She said, "Is that even legal?" And he said, "Well, it is legal because the marriage was legal." That's when she found out that the wedding was in fact legit. What a way to find out, right? She actually sued him, and now a judge has ruled in her favor, annulling the marriage from October of last year. And tricked her into getting married, but now it has been annulled and all is well with the world. Wow, that's pretty bold right there. Elsewhere in the broken news, always got to be a story out of Florida. At most of the time, it's dumb criminals, but in this case, as a dumb police officer, a Florida cop, turns out, was watching adult content on his phone when he crashed his patrol car into another vehicle. Crashed his patrol car into another vehicle while he was watching porn on his phone. This, according to an internal affairs report. The accident occurred a couple of months ago and prompted Tristan McComber to resign from his position. Probably a good idea, given what we now know about these circumstances. He had originally claimed that his vehicle had a mechanical issue that caused the crash. However, dash cam footage contradicted his story. Did he not remember that there were dash cams in patrol cars? Eventually, the disgraced officer admitted that he was looking at adult images at the time of the accident. He has not been charged with a crime. He is no longer on the force. All right. Oh, look, we do have a dumb criminal from the state of Florida today, as it turns out. This happened at a Family Dollar in Mulberry, Florida, where employees had the displeasure of dealing with both retail theft and human waste in one day. One incident. This reported by the Polk County Sheriff's Office there in Mulberry, Florida. A pair of suspected robbers apparently entered the Family Dollar store on a December afternoon with a clear plan in place. While the man gathered up about $500 worth of product,
The woman distracted the workers by relieving herself on the floor. Nice. Nice. The pair then fled the scene in a white van. You know, the ironic part about it is that while the woman was relieving herself on the floor, the guy was gathering up the merchandise that they were stealing. Happened to be $500 worth of Gain, Tide, and Clorox products. They stole all the stuff that they would clean the mess up with. What they wanted with a half a grand worth of cleaning products, we don't know, but they certainly did not clean up after themselves. Wow. Wow. A master plan indeed. Couple of other items here in the broken news on this Monday morning. Two women in Pennsylvania, Westmoreland County, Pennsylvania, are accused of stealing millions of dollars of inheritance money. Lisa and Angela Valesky are now behind bars after police say they impersonated a family member in order to gain access to $4.4 million in inheritance from the estate of the deceased CEO of a local beer distributor. They impersonated family members to gain access to $4.4 million of inheritance money. Both of the suspects allegedly bought houses and at least one car with the money, and both are currently now in the Westmoreland County Jail awaiting trial. Did they not think that the family was going to miss $4.4 million? I mean, think about it. That would be... Yeah, I think the family would probably miss $4.4 million. Not going to get away with that. Wow. That's bold. And finally, in the broken news this morning, like the family is going to say, oh, well, $4 million down the drain. No big deal. And finally, in the broken news, a Tennessee man has been sentenced to 2 months in prison after he pleaded guilty to using a drone to fly drugs into a federal prison. Prosecutors say the man, identified as Mark Anderson, operated a drone to fly marijuana over the fence of the federal correctional complex in Yazoo City, Mississippi. Back in October of 2021. Again, do you think that they're not going to notice this? That they're not going to notice a drone going over the fence of the prison? They did, and he's in jail now. 2 months in prison, and after completing his sentence, Mr. Anderson will be placed under supervised release for 3 years. I wonder if any of the people that he delivered the drugs to are going to return the favor while he's in the slammer. Probably not. Probably not, I would guess. Well, you try and do a friend a favor and look what it gets you. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Ever thought about joining the Findlay Rotary Club?
I'm Scott Holman, president of Resolute Wealth Advisor, and I'm proud to be a Findlay Rotarian where collectively we rely on the strengths of each member to impact our club's vision of uniting local leaders to influence positive change.
Our ability to influence positive change locally and around the world grows through membership. To learn more about how you could join the Findlay Rotary Club, go to findlayrotary.org and click on Join.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Have you taken down all of your Christmas decorations by now? I mean, we are a couple of weeks into the new year, and I know for a lot of people, this is, long past the time when everything should be down and packed away for the season. And I mention it because over the weekend, the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree went dark. Officials pulled the plug on the heavily decorated Norway spruce on Saturday evening, marking the official end to the holiday season in New York City. And by the way, I don't know if you know this or not, but once they take down all of the lights and take off all of the decorations, take down the tree in Rockefeller Center, they donate it. It's 74 feet tall, weighs 11 tons, and they donate it to Habitat for Humanity. It turned into lumber to help build houses that Habitat builds. So that's kind of cool. But it brings up the question of, when do you de-Christmas? When do you take everything down? Many Americans say holiday decorations can and should actually stay up all year round. According to a new survey of 2,000 people from Talker Research, 45% of Americans feel that keeping the festive momentum up long into the new year is perfectly okay, and they would be happy, in fact, to see the lights and the decorations stay up all year. 45%. That is so much higher than I would have expected. But that's what they say. That being said, 55%, the majority of Americans, do still believe that there is a date in which you should take everything down and pack it away. The 55% admit there is a festive expiration date, if you will. And the date, on average, they asked the people who said that there was a date, what date would that be? They nailed them down to it, a specific date. And the average comes out to be January 16th. So you still, if you're a little late, I would have guessed that people would have said a little bit earlier than that. But January 16th is the consensus. So you have a couple of days. Millennials most likely to support the notion of year-round celebration at 48%. Baby boomers the least likely to favor leaving the decorations up year-round, but 43%, still pretty strong showing, even among baby boomers. Men and women felt similarly when it comes to basking in the holiday glow all year. Women slightly more likely to favor decorations staying up indefinitely than men, 46 to 44%. And those in the Southwest and the Northeast are happiest to see the halls decked all year, 48%. Of those in those regions, while those in the West are least likely to support the idea of year-round holiday decor at just 39%. So make of that what you will. If you have not, now at our house, I will admit that normally by this time we will have all of the decorations packed away. We generally think of Epiphany as the time yard around January 6th. We try to get everything down and packed away after that. We had to leave ours up a little bit later this year because we had a late Christmas celebration just this past weekend with the family. So we kind of delayed it a little bit, just the way things worked out this year with schedules and everything. So we were a little late to the party, but I think this week we'll get the rest of them down. January 16th, that is your apparently your drop-dead date for holiday decor. So the 4-H program year is underway now. Several new events are being planned that are aimed at getting the entire community involved. And Lauren Berner-Kitzler is here from the Hancock County OSU Extension 4-H program to talk about what's happening. Lauren, thanks very much for dropping by.
Yes, thank you for having
Happy
me.
Happy New Year and
yes,
all of that.
Yes, it's exciting. It's an exciting new year.
So what is going on right now with the 4-H program? What are the kids doing? And what is, I mean, is it still, because I know they actually got started some weeks ago, really?
Yes,
right?
So our 4-H year actually technically kicked off November 1.
Okay, yeah.
But right now what is happening is those clubs are starting to form. They are beginning their meetings. Mm-hmm. We start off our year with our volunteer advisor kickoff training. That is for all of our volunteers and advisors in Hancock County. Mm-hmm. They come in and they have, it's held on a Saturday and a Wednesday evening. They come in, they sit down, we go over anything, new policies, new guidelines that the 4-H state program may have, any upcoming things we have in the county that we want to promote and share with our club. So right now, the members are just kind of still kind of enjoying a break. Some clubs may be meeting here and there, but it really is going to kick off kind of this end of the month, 1st of February.
Okay, so that's when things really begin in earnest.
Yes, yes.
For the clubs and the kids who have all of their projects by now selected and all of that, right?
Yep. So our enrollment, which they'll know for sure of kind of what projects they're wanting to take, is that April 1st deadline. So okay. They have kind of...
So they do have some more time.
You know, from November 1 to now to kind of start thinking, they can come into our office, check out our project books we have. We have copies of all of them. Kind of get a feeler of what they want before the year really takes off here. How, at the end of the month.
How often does that happen? I mean, I would imagine there are some kids that know exactly what they want to do, and especially with the animals, they probably do the same projects or similar projects year after year after year. But how often does that happen where, you know, you have kids that come into the year not having any idea what they want to
So it's focus becoming on. More common that we are sharing out there with our clubs and our advisors and our members that they can come in and see what they want. But we have a great partnership. The Ohio State 4-H program as a whole has a great partnership with Kroger, actually. And Kroger and our State Department teamed up, and they make what's called a project guide. This project guide has every project you can think of listed that's eligible not only at the county level, but also that you can go on and advance at the Ohio State Fair. Mm-hmm. And that project guide is formulated and put together in a booklet that's then mailed out to all Ohio 4-H members. Okay. We do have copies here in our office as well for our new families. Obviously, they're not on the mailing list quite yet.
Right.
But something that goes out in that November 1, December timeframe. So you got those holidays to think. Come in and take a look, see what you want to brainstorm together.
We've talked over the past several years the number of projects that have been added and expanded and different things. So I would imagine that now more than ever, it's probably more difficult to decide.
It is. And, you know,
and that's also easier for people to miss something that they might be
interested in. I was just going to say that. Yeah, something that kind of, when you're looking through that project guide, if you don't really know what you're looking for, you might miss something. Mm-hmm. That's why we really encourage our members to come in or talk with their local 4-H advisors of their club. You know, that's why we have our training kickoffs to advise and teach our advisors to then take that information back to their local club to help those members.
Yeah, so a lot of things going on, even though the actual program year and the working on the programs, the projects has not necessarily started yet, but still a lot of things going on. You have a number of events, as we mentioned, that are planned for the coming year for the entire community to get involved. And we were talking just last week with the folks at Habitat for Humanity about their 25th anniversary. You're teaming up to, you know, help celebrate that.
That is correct. Yes, we are teaming up with Habitat for Humanity. As they, like you just mentioned, they are turning 25 years in 2025. So, like, how cool is that?
Perfect. Yeah.
So with that, we are going to work with them in what's considered a Lego competition. So if you have a chance, listeners, Google Lego competitions for Habitat for Humanity. It is a huge thing. Super exciting thing that I think will be really beneficial for our county. We're actually going to really kick it off throughout our year, but then I'll really bring it together during the fair.
Okay.
And we're going to have Lego competitions taking place during the fair in the youth building.
Very cool.
Where they can build during set times, and then we're going to bring some judges in, working with that Habitat for Humanity crew, judging, putting those on display, giving our little award prizes. So something I think is going to be great. You do not have to be a 4-H member. This is open to anybody in Hancock County.
And you do not necessarily have to be a Lego expert.
No, I am not a Lego expert at all, but watching some of those videos and watching Lego Master on TV, it makes me want to start building something.
Who doesn't want to play with Legos?
Right? I mean, I remember being little and it was a big thing, and so yeah. Legos are making a huge comeback, and
absolutely.
They've advanced so much. You know, you had your basic just red, yellow, yeah. green color Legos. You've got all kinds now. So I think this is going to be a great thing for our county. Teaming up with this company.
That is going to be an awful lot of fun. We look forward to that. What are some of the other things that you got going on this year?
So a couple other things we've got coming up is Ohio and Hancock County 4-H Week. That is going to be held March 3rd through the 9th.
Okay.
So our office is planning something every day for our 4-H members to get involved with, whether that's on our Facebook page, coming into our office, different items they could do if they're having a 4-H club meeting. So very exciting week through March. Another big event is our 4-H Benefit and Auction Dinner. This is a great night. It's held on Saturday, April 5th at the Old Millstream Center. This event is what helps kind of keep our 4-H program going. It is a night that all of our community businesses, partners can come together, have a nice catered meal. We have a live auction. We have a silent auction. So just a great night to come together, look back what we've done in the past, but also look forward to what's coming down the road, you know, not only in 25, but down the road. So a great night overall. So
now,
super exciting.
That is coming up in April. When do folks sign up for that? Or I'm assuming the reservations are required for that.
So you just have to purchase a ticket. The ticket price is still undetermined at this moment, but more details will be coming out as we get a little bit closer. So tickets do go on sale starting in like that February timeframe. That are available for anybody that wants to come and be a part of our 4-H benefit. Again, it's just a night to help support our program.
Absolutely. And certainly a program worthy of support. We have talked about it in the past, how strong the 4-H program is in Hancock County. And that's not the case everywhere in the state of Ohio, but we have a really, really strong 4-H
program. We do. We are one of many counties in Northwest Ohio towards that top of the list that have a really strong, not only 4-H program, but a strong community background that helps support that program. 4-H program and keeping us going.
So absolutely. Be watching for the those tickets to go on sale here very soon. A lot of things happening in the world of 4-H as we turn the calendar over. And again, Lauren Berner-Kitzler from the Hancock County OSU Extension with us this morning. Lauren, thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It.
Have a great day.
Looking forward to a great year ahead. And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. We'd love to have you drop by and see us. Goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Findlay Mayor Christina Mern discusses the 2025 priorities of the Ohio Mayor's Alliance, including the push for dedicated state funding to support public safety at the local level. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.